gentlemen, your attention, please.
Monday, Monday.
Ah, shut up.
So good to me.
Chicago!
Monday! Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Great to be here. I know you want to punch somebody because of the weather. My wife was walking the dog tonight. I'm not kidding when I say this. My wife, Sarah, God bless her. She's freezing when it's 90 degrees outside and humid. But she was walking the dog. She wore her winter coat and a stocking cap tonight.
Oh, no.
To walk Wrigley.
Okay, that's overdoing it just a teeny little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, the taxes are going up in the state, and now it's the weather. Why do we stick around? I mean, I swear to you, everyone's talking about this.
I would say go to L.A., but I was talking to a friend of mine. And I was talking to California, period. Not necessarily L.A., but the problem is they're not just warm. They're already in the frying pan. They've already had a couple of 100-degree days already.
See, this whole weather thing is screwed up.
No, when I was there, it wasn't that warm in L.A.
Well, you go to L.A., what, every few weeks to see your boyfriend, George? What was the weather
yes,
like?
It wasn't that warm. It was like 80 degrees. One day.
And then... Not humid?
Not humid.
But David's right. It's hit 100 degrees in L.A., Phoenix, and there's another country. What's the name of the country? It got up to 120 last week.
Ooh. That's toasty.
It'll
really
come.
Really toasty.
Yeah, so something is a little off. It's a little crazy. But yeah, this weather, man. I want a barbecue, but I don't want to walk outside, and then you're cold, and then the rain.
Mother Nature's smoking crack, okay?
That's the only
explanation.
When is summer going to hit?
August.
I mean, seriously, when are you going to be able to lay by the pool during the day or on the weekends? And all we see is rain. I'm going to the Rolling Stones with my wife on Friday night at Soldier Field. It's going to rain.
Oh, that's awful.
Lake Shake is this weekend. It's going to rain. Yeah. Wow, sure glad Pete's on the radio. He's cheering us up tonight. Okay, all right. Let's see. What do we have coming up on the show tonight? We're going to talk pedicabs. You guys take pedicabs?
I have.
No.
Numerous times.
Never done it.
Really?
No.
You didn't have the urge to just sit in that back and watch the guy just sweat as he's pedaling?
As someone who used to ride a bicycle, my bicycle on Lakeshore Drive, along the lakefront,
right?
I have no desire to see someone torture themselves for cash.
Sometimes you got to get to someplace quick and you can't get a car, so you hop in the pedicab. Well, we're going to have one of the owners that's coming in studio. It's a pretty interesting story how they rent for the summer and these guys make money. It's kind of like Uber. You know, there's...
But on a bike.
Sort of like a cab. Right. They lease it.
Right.
More or less.
Absolutely.
Ah.
That's it. And we're also going to talk to Ryan Burrow at midnight tonight. This Aretha Franklin story, I'm so intrigued by it. Because she's got three wills now. They found one in the couch, and they found two others in a cabinet.
In the couch?
I swear to you, she died in August of last year. She died in August of last year, and she had no will. And then suddenly, a month ago, they find three. There was two in a cabinet, and there was one in a couch. It's crazy.
How many years do you figure that's going to take them to sort through?
I don't know. They're handwritten, and it's just crazy. Ryan's been following the story, and I said, can you stay up and come on at midnight? And he said, absolutely. So we're going to talk to him. Also, one of the greatest jobs. I want everybody to think about the best job they ever had. I mean, summer job during college. I remember in high school and college, I worked at a beer distributor in Peoria. RJ Distributors, and I'd only work around the holidays, and Mr. Jokish would give us beer. You go ahead, take home a few cases if you want. And it was Ham's Beer. Love that job.
I can understand why, yeah.
Yes, it was fantastic. Vivi, how about you? What's your favorite job, summer job?
I used to work at Target, and I loved that 10% off discount.
People, all they want to do is complain to Target employees. I would never work at Target.
I actually had a great time.
I wouldn't have the patience to do that.
I share the lack of patience for retail. It's just, I've done it, but it's like, no.
Favorite summer job, David? I mean, everybody had a great summer job in college. I worked at a bar. That's another job.
This wasn't, in college, I worked for the university's technological services department.
Okay.
The geek squad, more or less.
That sounds very exciting.
Yeah, well, it was also the television studio on campus, okay. So I got to learn how to run cameras and
not bad.
Technical direct and a lot of other stuff. But the most fun job I ever had.
Yes.
I used to play piano for ballet classes at a music school.
I like that.
That's awesome.
So imagine
the ballerinas are in front of you dancing as you're playing
multiple,
the piano.
Multiple classes. And I would just kind of improvise lots of stuff to a waltz beat.
I love that. That's a great summer job. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. What's the best job, summer job you've ever had? Because I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about this job. You could actually do this job yourself this summer. It's only 2 weeks. You could take off 2 weeks and get paid to do this great job. And I'm going to tell you about that next. 312-981-7200. WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200. What is the best summer job you ever had? 785 area code. Best summer job ever was being a lifeguard at the pool. Yeah, what's not to love about that? Wow. That would be wonderful. Hanging out in the sun all day.
Getting a tan.
Man, I wish I was a good swimmer. Just got off work at Target, the great part-time job, 847. I love Target, don't get me wrong. I just wouldn't have the patience to talk to people at Target.
I loved it. It was my first job in high school.
Oh, people are so needy and they want to just complain.
It's a good thing you weren't working at Target Saturday because that
was... Oh, yeah,
was,
yeah. I went out.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't just a couple of stores, it was... All of their stores.
All the stores.
All
I read
of
about
them
it.
Everywhere.
I know.
For about 2 hours.
That's why I'm not working at Target.
Gone.
Yep. Best part-time summer job. Reynolds Wrap is looking for someone to travel across the United States in search of the tastiest ribs.
Ooh.
If that's not enough, they're also going to give you $10,000 to go along with it.
You think you can talk your wife into letting you go for a couple of weeks?
It's 2 weeks. You're going to be
paid. I take the trip with you.
You're going to be paid to eat ribs across the country. This is what you do. You go. They tell you where to go. You go and eat the ribs. You post pictures of your food, and you'll be dreaming about this every single night. The person chosen will travel across the country for the first 2 weeks of August. So think about that for a second. Could you guys get away? First 2 weeks in August in search of the best barbecue in America. You'll be in charge of posting photos, grilling techniques, and other multimedia on the company's website and social media channels. You'll be an influencer for rib lovers. It's for you and a guest. They pay the travel expenses. All you do is show up.
You gonna go for it?
I don't know. I mean, I love ribs. I love posting pictures.
Would your wife let you go?
Absolutely, she would. $5,000 a week? Absolutely.
Okay.
Those interested in applying, you submit a photo of yourself. You got to look good.
I just submitted an application.
You also have to write a paragraph, 100 words, about why you would be the best fit for the position.
Easy. I love food.
Mm-hmm. Do you love food? You love traveling?
I love traveling.
You love interacting with food?
Yes. And you, social media?
You need to apply by Wednesday at midnight. This is it.
It's already been done right now. That's what I was doing on break.
Go to the Reynolds Wrap website, reynoldskitchens.com/2019/chief-grilling-officer. But if you go to Reynolds Wrap, their website, reynoldskitchens.com, it's all right there. $10,000. You eat ribs. You take a picture of it, you post it. You go to bed, you move on to the next city. 2 weeks. So 14 days, you're done.
That's amazing.
They pay for travel expenses. They take care of lodging. Everything is paid for. Just show up. God, that's great.
That's amazing.
2 weeks vacation, you'll do it. Dallas, you're on WGN. Best summer job, what was it?
Oh, hey, Pete. My best summer job was I once traveled across the western United States, shearing alpacas.
For real?
Yeah, no, it pays great money. You got, because alpacas are a great farm animal. You know, the wool or whatever is really valuable to make coats and such out of them. So me and three guys got hired to basically travel in a Dodge Caravan across, you know, a few different states, going to different farms and just shearing alpacas for, and then the people would sell the wool.
You're kidding. So you
100% true.
You'd show up at a farm and you'd grab one of these animals and you'd take a one guard to it, just shave it, and what kind of bin would you put the wool in?
I mean, just kind of like a big plastic tub, essentially. I mean, and we were gentle with the animals. I mean, I wasn't manhandling them too much. I'd only manhandle them if they were spitting. And I'll tell you, they're mean spitters. I got spit on by alpacas several times, and they can really use old Colgate.
Really? They have bad breath.
Yeah.
And how much
real
did
bad.
That? How much did that pay back in the day?
Back in the I did this not too long ago. I'm only 25.
Oh wow!
So I got paid like $13,000
just
for 3 months' work.
That's a great summer job right there, man. And you're traveling, you're having fun. And were these your buddies or just random people?
Oh no, these were just other guys that got contracted. I guess I just kind of met them the day of, and we spend more or less every day together, living out of Best Westerns.
Dallas, thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's a great call right there. Alpacas just kind of shaving the wool. Interesting. I don't know. I feel like I'd be allergic to it. Elizabeth, you're on WGN. Best summer job.
I was teaching school, and I took a summer job at Brookfield Zoo driving the motor safari, and I stayed there 8 years. It was one of the greatest jobs I ever had. I never had so much fun. And at that time, they had a couple of free days at the zoo, and you didn't have to pay for everything. We also had a railroad running around the perimeter of the park.
Right, I've been on the railroad.
That was over $500,000 worth of rolling stock donated by R.R. Donnelly and Son.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So what did you drive again? I'm trying to think if I've been on it.
The Motor Safari.
The Motor Safari. Now, where is that? What is that?
It's a tram with three cars, and you had a narrator in the back, and then you had a driver in the front. And they were painted like animals. One was a zebra. One was a hyena.
Were you the driver or the narrator?
Well, we changed. We did both jobs.
Could you recite a little bit from the Brookfield Zoo back in the day?
This is not a cat house. This is the lion house.
I love it, Elizabeth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. 312-981-7200. That's funny. I'm sure I've been on that. I've been to the Brookfield Zoo about 1,000 times. 312-981-7200. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. What is the difference between an alpaca and a llama? Aren't they the same thing? Am I thinking of the same thing in Napoleon Dynamite? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The alpaca and the llama? David, do you know?
Hold
I gotta
on
Google
a second.
That. Alpaca?
I'm looking that up now.
Llama.
All right. Llamas have long banana-shaped ears, while alpacas have straight ears, and they are smaller. Their faces also differ slightly.
But they look very similar, if you didn't know the difference between an alpaca and a llama, right?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, yes. I mean, they look similar.
They're both part of what is known as the camel family.
Have you seen Napoleon Dynamite? Remember?
No.
The alpaca or the llama? I think it was the llama in Napoleon Dynamite. Vivi, you haven't seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
It was a llama.
It was a llama.
But it looks like an alpaca, which is the same thing. That's a lot of wool. I mean, jobs like that, you remember forever. That guy Dallas, he went across the United States and he shaved alpacas.
Dedication.
That's what he did. That's a great job.
Well, if you've ever bought anything made from alpaca fur, I mean, it's really comfortable.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
I'm thinking college money. Or, you know, this guy made $13,000 in 3 months. That's a great job.
Wow.
That is if he saved enough.
Well, I mean, you're a college kid, so you spent some money.
Party time.
Right, of course. That's what you do in college. I think I spent everything. I worked in a bar, Rocky's Hitching Post. I spent every cent I made. But when you work at a bar, it's like, especially on campus, It's, I mean, right off campus. That is the epicenter.
You might as well have just told the boss, don't give me the paycheck. I'll just take it in free booze.
I loved it. Did you ever work at a bar in college?
No.
I have not, no.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Sorry.
It was great.
I kind of wish I did, though.
Remember, I'm a beer away from college. I can go right back there in my mind, and I could go right back there physically. Absolutely, I could. I loved it. Where did everybody go to college? Where did you go again, Vivi?
I went to Columbia downtown.
Columbia, that's right. Okay. David, where'd you go?
I went to Pace College.
Where is Pace?
That is in New York City, Lower Manhattan, right across the street from City Hall.
You're kidding.
Yeah. It's now called Pace University. When I was there, it was still called Pace College.
So you were right in the heart of it. I love New York.
Yeah, it was a short stroll up to Little Italy, and it was not unusual on a Friday night for a bunch of us to go up and get some cappuccino and cannoli.
Oh, man. That is nice.
Old-fashioned cappuccino, where they put the thing inside that heats up the drink,
mm-hmm.
like a looked like a soldering iron.
Oh, sure.
So that's before they had any of the fancy espresso machines.
So you went to college in New York. Vivi, you went to college downtown Chicago. And I went
where
to
did you go?
College downtown Peoria, Bradley University.
Yeah, a nice small-town school, huh?
BU, baby. Oh, yeah. It was
you
nice.
Love that school.
I do. I could go back tomorrow.
As a teacher.
let's take a look at news. Coming up, we're going to talk the pedicabs, okay? But first, news. I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring everybody down about the weather, but I'm going to the Stones Friday. And the reason that it's a big deal is because the first date with my wife was September 23rd, 1997. Our first date was at Soldier Field, the Bridges to Babylon tour with the Rolling Stones. So I don't want it to rain. I want to have some fun. We've seen the Stones since then, but still, man, that's rough stuff. And then Lake Shake this weekend with more rain. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep bringing people down, but that's rough stuff. It is. Coming up, we're going to talk to one of the owners of a pedicab company here in Chicago. These are the guys that ride the bike. They got the little carriage in back. And
I'm so excited about
that. Take you from place to place. Dan was lost in a lift. Is he on his way? Is
he's
he here?
He's on his way. He's
almost coming
here.
Up the elevator?
He should be, yes.
Okay. Have you been to a concert at Soldier Field?
I have. Taylor Swift.
It is so difficult to get to Soldier Field, but when you leave, I mean, you can get dropped off at the bottom of the ramp and actually walk over. I'm talking 18th Street, but leaving,
it's awful.
You have to walk a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles.
There was like 55,000 people that left that concert that night, and you could not find a way out.
That's the only thing I'm thinking about on Friday when
and
we
was
leave.
Pouring. It was pouring, too.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
My wife's going to hate my guts.
Hey, get a pedicab.
That's what I'm thinking. Can I set this
there
up ahead
go.
Of time?
There you go.
Meet me at this exit in the north end zone, and then we'll take off to an Uber somewhere. But that's the thing. If you don't have a pedicab at Soldier Field, you're walking 2 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. That's why I love these guys.
Yeah, yeah. They're great. It's going to be fun talking to them.
But it's interesting how everyone negotiates their own deal. I know it's the Chicago way, but okay, one pedicab is 15, the next one's 25. Oh, we got a rush of people. Now it's up to 30.
For 15 minutes, some of them, too.
Yeah.
It's like $30 per person for a 15-minute ride.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
But do you want to walk?
Oh, you're
most
right.
People are walking, though. That's the thing.
I mean, it depends. Is it raining? If it's raining,
if it's raining, you want a pedicab.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially with this weather, Pete, come on, it's going to be probably like 56 degrees that night.
That's another thing. What's it going to be like with the wind on the lake and if it's raining?
Yeah. Oh, bring your coat, your mittens.
And here's the thing. I usually do this. I print out the set list so I know when to go to the bathroom because you want to go to the bathroom at a bad song, right?
Right.
Okay. This is their first concert on this tour. They open up the tour here in Chicago Friday night at Soldier Field. And remember, Mick had to postpone this because he had the heart deal going on. And so everyone's pumped up and ready. I don't know, man. I love the Rolling Stones, but if it's raining sideways, I don't know if I can stay for the whole show. I'll suck it up.
No, you'll be fine.
I don't have anything to do on Saturday. And I'm not working here on Friday night. That's because I'm going to see the Stones with my wife.
You'll become best friends with Dan, and he's going to give you your personal pedicab.
I like it.
Yes.
But how do you know which company? That's another question for Dan. Coming up, we'll talk pedicab here. It's 720 WGN. WGN WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our pedicab guy is late, so we'll push him back.
He's probably in a pedicab.
See, that's the problem. He's probably in a Lyft or an Uber, and they're not getting here. I posted an article on LinkedIn today. I love the LinkedIn articles because they're way more serious than Facebook. But I posted an article today about the intimidating look that you can make just by moving your head. Do you have any idea how you can do that?
I have no idea.
The most intimidating look. So if you're looking up, nothing. That's not intimidating, is it? Mm-mm. Looking to the side?
Maybe if
not
you're looking down.
If you look down.
Yeah.
If you tilt your head down just a bit, that is intimidating.
Yeah, it is now that you're looking at me.
Do you know what actor that does that all the time?
Liam Neeson?
He does the look down. He tilt down, look up with his eyes.
I don't know.
Every single picture of him, that is his look. George Clooney does the tilt down with the head, look up with the eyes.
Really?
The Clooney look. Liam Neeson? That's a great question. I don't know if he does
that. I'm just thinking of him during the movies he played in Taken.
Does he do that?
I think I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looked really intimidating in that movie, so I'm assuming.
So if you look straight on, not intimidating, tilt your head down, it's a little intimidating because it's like you're trying to hide something. Also, the handshake. Are you familiar with the intimidating handshake? How would you do it if you think it's intimidating?
Oh, gosh.
First of all, don't give me the fish. I don't need the fish. I don't want it. And I did post this on LinkedIn today. But if you're going in for the handshake and you're an intimidating handshake, it's the over. You're reaching over and their hand is under. So if someone grabs your hand to shake and they put their hand over, they're trying to intimidate you. So be aware of that. If they're giving you the fish, well, 309 area code, ask Pete if that was Vinokin's bar. Yes, that was Rocky's bar, Rocky's hitching post. Rocky hired me and he used to work the door on Friday and Saturday. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line is Dan here. He's coming in.
He's here.
So I don't need to switch gears?
No, don't switch them. Okay. We got to talk pedicabs.
Oh, Jesus. Definitely so. If you remember, I want to say maybe in the last 5 years, pedicabs have taken over the entire city. 5 years ago, there was maybe just a few. Now, everywhere you walk out of any type of sporting event, at the Blackhawks, especially at Soldier Field, Soldier Field is the worst to get somewhere. That's why the pedicabs are out there. 720 WGN.
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
If you're going to the Rolling Stones on Friday night, you're going to want to take one of these. I'm telling you, I'll probably take a pedicab. In studio with us is one of the owners of Second City Tuk Tuks. Is that right? The Tuk Tuks? Second City Tuk Tuks?
Yes, it is.
Dan Ferrace, thanks for coming in, man. You finally found us.
Yeah, it was a little difficult, but I'm finally here.
Did you take a pedicab here? How'd you get here?
No, I would have gotten here a lot quicker, actually.
Really? You did. That's the problem. When did you buy this company?
A partner and I bought this together in 2013.
That's when things started to pick up with the pedicabs in Chicago, about 5 years ago or so?
Right. They came out with an ordinance back then. There were 15 or 20 people probably doing it before then, but after the ordinance came into effect, a lot of people came to Chicago.
And what was the ordinance? What did they pass? That it was to have a pedicab?
Exactly. They just needed to come up with some rules and how to regulate it when more and more of them started to appear.
Okay.
You know, when there's two, you don't need a law. When there's 25 to 50, then you start needing insurance and safety regulations.
Right. How many do you have?
Personally, we have 10 licensed here in Chicago.
Okay, and how do you move them around the city? Are they just pedaling all over the place, or do you throw them in a truck?
Within the city, we just pedal around.
Okay, so some could be by Wrigley Field, some could be by Soldier Field, some could be by the United Center.
Exactly.
It just depends.
Exactly, or any other festival that's going on. If you have Riot Fest, which is in Douglas Park.
Right, yeah, Lollapalooza.
Exactly.
I took one last year. Because that was crazy to get out of that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these crowds, that's why we're so effective. Parking over at Soldier Field is...
It's the worst.
Right. So
it is the absolute worst to get to a concert.
Exactly. So we're an easy transportation alternative to get across that park.
Right. Okay. So how did you get your start here?
Actually, it was my business partner. He saw it. He's much younger than I am. And he was like... Hey, Dan, you're an avid bicyclist. Why don't you check this thing out that I found? And I'm like, oh, my God, this thing is awesome. So I just I was immediately in love with it.
I remember seeing them at Comic-Con about 10 years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big deal, and people would advertise on the back of the pedicabs. Is that where they became more popular?
Probably here in Chicago. That's exactly when they started taking off. They've been around the country for a lot longer, but in Chicago it took a little longer to get here. In the southern states, okay, they can run a little longer in the season, so it took longer to make it to the northern cities.
Well, I'm a season ticket holder for the Bears, and sometimes when it snows, I see you guys pedaling in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pain in the butt.
Oh, that's one of the worst, right? Snow buildup over like 1 inch is really hard to move in.
What's the average price that people are going to pay? And I know it depends if you're at Soldier Field and everybody wants to get out of there. What if nobody's around?
Right, exactly. Everyone has a different price schedule.
Okay.
Right, and it is kind of by demand. Every driver has a different rate. Some people charge per person. Some people charge per mile. Some people charge more than others. So always check with the driver on that. But there is no real set rate. You should probably expect to pay about $10 a person or maybe $15 a person if it's a long ride.
Okay. How long is long? Over 2 miles or under 2 miles? Because if take a pedicab from Soldier Field over to Michigan Avenue, what's that going to cost me with my wife?
Just the Michigan Avenue, like 7th of Michigan, like bulk?
Yeah.
Again, that should be a $10 per person ride. Maybe
$20?
Maybe 15 if it's the Stones.
How about 15 and you got
right,
a deal?
Right, exactly.
He's just trying to map
people
out his
always,
weekend.
Everybody negotiates.
Exactly.
It's some the Chicago people, way.
Right. Haggling is part of the business.
Right, definitely.
We have to know
so.
How to haggle back, too. So.
So when these guys get the pedicab from you, are they renting from you? Are you giving it to them and they're giving you a percentage? How does it work as a business owner?
Again, every company probably has a different system for that.
What do you guys do, personally?
We rent per day. We don't care what you make. If you make $5 and just want to go sleep in my pedicab all day, I'm still going to charge you the $50 per day.
Okay.
Now, if you want to go out and work 20 hours and you're going to pull in your $600, $700, $800, then that's up to you, too. I'm not going to take in a percentage of it. And that's too hard to figure out anyway, because then drivers are trying
You're going to have to start doing math.
Right.
So it's $50. I could come work for you and say, okay, Dan, I want to get a pedicab. Here's $50.
Kind of. You have to go get a chauffeur's license, which isn't expensive at all.
Okay.
But the city of Chicago has to look at you. Not only can you not owe the city of Chicago any money, you can't have anything on your driving record, and you have to be FBI background checked. So
really?
We're all...
What do you mean you can't owe the city money? Are we talking parking tickets here?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, or water bills or anything, right?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So they make you clean all that up when you apply for most businesses here in Chicago.
Okay, so tomorrow, Cubs, Sox, Wrigley Field, they close down Clark Street. That's a big night for you.
Mm-hmm.
So how many pedicabs are you going to have out there?
We'll have all of ours out there. Now, Chicago will have quite a few out there. There's not much else going on a Tuesday night.
Right, definitely.
So we have 200 licensed pedicabs in Chicago. Not all 200 are going to be there, of course, but I'd say 60, 70 of them at least.
Wow. So these guys rent from you on a daily basis. How do you get them to go? What if all of them just wanted to go to Wrigley tomorrow? Can you say, okay, go ahead and do your deal?
Yeah, there is no territories. We don't provide anything like that. They're allowed to go wherever they would like to go. So most people are going to want to go to the Cubs White Sox.
Right.
If they're working.
With Wrigley Field, now when you walk out of a game, Clark Street's close.
Yep.
And the closest place that you can get a cab is what? Racine? Racine and Addison?
Yeah, you can walk over to Racine and Addison, Racine and Waveland.
Right.
That's usually
so you have to get up
spot.
To Racine. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so.
So that's why you guys come in handy.
Yeah, and they've given us positions to park at Wrigley Field, so specific locations where you can find us.
So where are you parking if people are there tomorrow night?
Clark and Waveland, there's a location. There's one right across from the new...
Clark and Waveland at Bernie's, right across the street?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, on the closed park.
You got to give me bars. That's how I know Wrigleyville.
There you go.
So we're talking Bernie's across the street.
Right. Okay. And then if you know Rizzo's across the street.
Of course.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. There's a parking lot right next door in the souvenir place.
And then we're allowed to park down by where we were just talking about at Ashland and Racine. or Ashland, sorry, Addison and Racine.
Right.
And then take people west that are trying to get farther west or try get other bars.
So do you coordinate your guys or just say, here's where you go, here's the map of the area, and just go do your deal?
Yeah, we do not coordinate.
So it just you're just making money by renting, basically.
Yeah, or riding.
Or
that's,
riding.
That's my passion.
Are you a rider?
Yeah, I'm a rider.
So you could pick me up in a pedicab?
Yes, I would love to pick you up in a pedicab.
How much?
How about me, Dan?
Well, you'd like to pick up Vivi. She's much prettier than I am. So what are we talking here? How many miles are you pedaling in a given day?
It would depend on the event. Sometimes we're only doing like 10 to 15 miles, but...
How about a typical Saturday when it's warm? I know we haven't seen sun and warmth here in Chicago, but you know it's going to happen.
Again, depends on the location, but 30 to 40 miles.
30 to 40 miles.
We work Evanston games, and you know a lot of our shops are downtown, and even when we work at Wrigley, it's 3 to 4 miles just to get up there. So there's a lot of pedaling. But if we go to Northwestern, that's 10 miles before we even start.
Jeez, I'm sweating just thinking about it. So do you keep like some speed stick in the
the fanny pack? Gold Bond has become a friend.
I don't know if I could do this. I mean, what happens if you get bored halfway through or it's like, I'm tired, I just can't do it anymore?
You stick it out.
You have to.
Or you find a new occupation.
Have you ever been injured or has somebody ever hit the pedicab?
Yeah. Yep.
So what happens? You got to call the cops?
If it's bad. It's just like a vehicle accident. I've been hit a couple of times. Our bikes are so sturdy that...
Wait a second. I've been hit a couple of times. Mm-hmm. How? Where?
I got hit right at Michigan and Ohio one day. Or Michigan and Ontario.
Oh,
right
no.
by the Lux.
Yeah.
And the guy tried to take off down Michigan on a 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't have to do anything. Local pedestrian, locals just.
Everybody wants to help out. Yeah.
So
are you laying on the ground in your pedicab?
No, just the opposite. I didn't know what had happened. My bike is built so strong that, I had to ask the passenger what had happened. And she's like, you just got hit from behind and it smashed up his front end, but nothing happened to my bike.
Okay. How safe are those cabs that we're riding in? I know you got the bike and you have probably a thick bike. Are you wearing a helmet?
No.
Why not?
There's no helmet law in Illinois.
Well, I know, but you're in the city. Aren't you worried about someone hitting you?
A little bit, but if you're wearing a helmet, a lot of people that have families think that maybe it's a little unsafe. You have to make it like look safe. We have seat belts and stuff like that. If we're looking like we're getting ready for a crash, then...
So when you ride a normal bike, because you're a cyclist, when you ride a normal bike, are you wearing a helmet? In the city?
Honestly, no. Not
okay.
Me. No.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, we should... no one wears a helmet, though. We have now the scooters and the electric bikes, and helmet laws don't exist, so...
So are you going to get on the scooter bandwagon, too? That started last week, right? The electric scooters?
I'm all for scooters, as long as they're used correctly.
I don't think people are going to be able to use them correctly. I think we're going to see a lot of crashes. How fast do they go? 20,
they go pretty fast.
20, 30 miles an hour, right?
I clocked one at 17, but I don't know how much faster they go than that. I don't know if the guy was down on the throttle.
I think top speed's supposed to be 15.
15 miles an hour, and you can't ride on the sidewalk. It's got to be on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Unfortunately, people that are scared to ride bicycles in the street find this to be an option, and so they will be riding on the sidewalk.
This is going to be bad.
It seems like it might be.
It's going to be bad.
In some cities, it's worked, and in some cities, it hasn't.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work in Chicago. I feel like motorists never stop for anything.
I was going to say, in Chicago, we don't like to stop for much, so right.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. It really is. That's why Mayor Rahm put in the bike lanes down Clybourne and ruined that street, because he wanted bike lanes, because too many people were getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Wow. Well, Dan, thanks for coming in. Am I going to see you Friday night when I go to the Stones and it's pouring down rain?
Actually, because of the... We have a restriction on Friday night.
What? Don't make me walk,
Well, this
man.
Is the problem. Well,
I'm not worried about myself. I'm just worried about my wife.
There you go.
Yeah.
The same night is Lake Shake, so Miranda Lambert is playing right next door.
Right.
And so for that night, we've been asked to move much farther back than we normally do because of the amount of people that are going to be exiting at the exact same time.
Where are you going to be?
They want us up on Columbus because so many people are going to have to park over at Millennium and Monroe Street garages. That will be at like 11th and Columbus.
Well, there's no reason then to take a pedicab if I'm walking over to Columbus.
We're hoping
because
that's
I'll just walk down
the
Michigan Avenue.
We're hoping that's not the case. But yeah, just for that one night, we've been told not to go anywhere on the south side between 31st and 18th Street.
That defeats the purpose, though.
You are right, my friend.
I don't understand. People come out of the concert, they want to ride to wherever their car is or transportation.
Yeah, we've in other cities, it's a little, they organize it where pedestrians take certain sidewalks and
right.
Chicago and pedicabs would take another. But Chicago, we haven't gotten that far yet. And so the intermingling of the pedicabs going with pedestrians has been considered unsafe. So
that whole maze from Soldier Field underneath, you know, the streets and around that park and up towards Columbus is so odd.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Why couldn't they just rope off an area for the pedicabs?
They can.
But they won't?
I won't say they won't. It's, you know, Chicago sometimes gets busy and paperwork sits around.
For years.
Right. So
yeah,
there is a plan and it's pretty obvious. As long as we don't go through the tunnels, there's other paths that go around the tunnels that would be
okay.
Perfect options. But we haven't gotten that far yet. We sit in with meetings every year and we're hoping to get that far one of these days.
Second City Tuk Tuks is the name of the pedicab company. Dan, what's your website? People can check it out.
Second City Tuk Tuks. .com.
T-U-K-T-U-K-S. Yes, you got to have the K's in there. Thanks for coming in. I'm glad you found the radio station.
Well, thank you, Fred.
It's so interesting. You're in great shape. I feel like I need to ride a pedicab. Nah, I'll pass on that.
Do it once, I'll let you.
Okay.
The best things in life for free, but that ain't really good enough for me.
720 WGN. I love Shark Tank. I watch it with my 13-year-old son, Charlie, and I try to get his brain moving. Charlie, what's the next big thing? Okay. Calling all kid entrepreneurs, Winnetka Idea Tank is inviting kids between the ages of 8 and 14 to pitch their business ideas for a chance to win cash prizes. And on the phone with us is Loey Sickle. Loey, I love everything about this. Thanks for coming on tonight. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Explain to people what this is all about.
You know, so I'm an author, and I have a book series that teaches kids about business and entrepreneurship. It's called From an Idea to. And actually, the local library asked me to come up with an event that kind of goes beyond just the books. And I thought, you know, why not do like a Shark Tank for kids? And so within literally days, I'd reached out to just the biggest entrepreneurs and business executives I knew in Chicago and some local companies, and people just jumped on board. And so we have created a Shark Tank-inspired event called Winnetka Idea Tank. It's open to anyone in the Chicagoland area, and they're going to get a chance to pitch their idea to this incredible panel of, you know, quote-unquote sharks. Not sure we can use that term, but hey, why not, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so we've got Rocky Wirtz, the chairman
really?
Owner of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Rocky we've agreed got, to this? That's fantastic.
Yes, he did, without, like, a flinch. And it's not like I know Rocky. I wrote him an email. And Thomas Parkinson, the founder of Peapod.
Right.
We've got Val Haller, who is the founder of a company called Valsalus, and kind of like a music producer. She puts on all these music festivals.
Yep.
David Donaldson is the managing director of Merrill Lynch.
Sure.
And Liza Solberg, who is the youth on our panel, she is the founder of Spinergy Wicker Park, which is a spinning cycle in downtown Chicago. So, yeah, super excited. And we're going to award these kids with the top five are going to get some big cash prizes with a grand prize of $1,000. So hoping to kind of like inspire this whole generation. Yeah, so it's really cool.
Well, Loey, on Shark Tank, you have to actually bring the product. Do you have to do that here, or do you just come up with an idea and have, I don't know, an outline? What do you have to do?
Yeah. So, you know, we realize these are kids, right? So this is open to kids age 8 to 14, and we know they're just getting out of school. We're not asking for Shark Tank prototypes like you see on TV. We want to see kids with an idea that solves a problem or an idea that's really original, or maybe it's just passion. You know, maybe it's they love to bake cookies and they want to create a chocolate chip cookie company. I mean, who knows? It can be really anything. But we're looking for kids with the passion and the energy and, you know, everything that really kind of creates a great company is the person behind it. And,
sure.
And that's what we're looking for. So no, you do not need to come in with some, you know, the scrub daddy, right? Like, it can just be an idea, but, you know, a well thought out idea. We don't just want, you know, kids kind of like, oh, $1,000. I want to, you know, I'll just tell them anything. We're looking for someone who really has thought about something and it might solve a problem, or they're really passionate about it. And also, you know, what they might use the prize money for.
Right. What is the website people can go to?
The website is WinnecaIdeaTank.com. And, again, it's open to anyone. It's not just Winnetka. It's just taking place in Winnetka. The event itself will take place on Wednesday, July 17th at 7 p.m.
The reason I brought this up is because Rocky's a little busy with the the draft this week and signing players in the next month, and he agreed to it, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, you know, he, I sort of knew a person who knew a person, and I said, do you think?
That's the Chicago way.
And they said, you know what, if this is for Chicagoland kids, there's a real good chance he's going to do this. And he said, yes. So we're really excited to have him on board, obviously. It's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I love this because you get kids thinking, first of all. They start thinking about ideas, and then they get involved, and they're actually in a contest, and they have to submit. I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, and you know, the way I see it is, like, nothing bad can come of this, right? You know, I mean, if this isn't the idea that, you know, you go on to do, like, it's just a learning process, and you're going to meet some incredible people, and they're going to have great advice for you, and it's just going to be a great experience, really fun. We're not trying to, like, scare anyone. You know, a lot of parents have told me, oh, my kid's really nervous. No, I mean, they're going to be up there for just a couple minutes.
Right.
Have a chance to talk to these amazing, you know, sharks, judges, whatever you want to call them. And it's just going to be a really cool, inspirational event for everyone involved.
Is this your first year that you've done this?
This is, yeah. So we're going to see how this all pans out and, you know, how many kids we actually get signed up. And, you know, hopefully it grows to a bigger event with maybe it's, we break it into smaller age groups in the future.
Or, right.
You know, so there's a lot of potential where this can go.
Do you watch Shark Tank?
Oh, yeah.
I love Shark
Tank. My kids do. I've got three kids. They probably watch it more than I do. I love it, too.
Well, it makes your kids think about what's the next thing. It's, you know, where can you solve a problem? And that's what I love about this. It's basically
the
same thing. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and it's a great way for, you know, just, it's a Chicago summer event. You know, kids are out of school, and it's a great way to get them thinking and thinking about different things and, you know, get off their phones. And,
oh, my God,
what are the problems
the
out there,
on their
you know?
Phones nonstop on their phones like crazy. It drives me nuts. And you have three. I only have one. How old are yours?
True. I've got twins who just turned 15 and 11-year-old, yeah.
So can the 11-year-old submit?
My kid's not going to submit.
I mean, because you're involved in it? Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no reason he needs to. I've told him if he wants to help run the concession stand, he can do that. But he gets to listen to my inspirational chatter all the time. So, you know, this is for people, you know, this is for the whole community. This is for everyone in the Chicagoland area.
It's interesting because our kids just turn us off after a while, don't
they? That's right.
They just stop listening. Where is it happening in Winnetka on July 17th?
It is going to happen at the Winnetka Chapel, which is this old converted chapel where they put on some music concerts and some literary events, and it's a pretty cool venue, and it's right in the heart of Winnetka, so you can get there by bus or train, or, you know, there'll be a lot of parking all around. But, yeah, it's going to be a great event.
I think it's a great idea. fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. How about your kid? Is he in that range, 8 to 14?
Charlie McMurray is 13 years old. He turns 14 July 14th. So he's still in the wheelhouse.
His golden birthday.
He's in it.
It is his golden birthday.
That's awesome.
But I like this because I'm gonna present it to him, and I'm gonna present it to his buddies and say, hey, listen, what ideas do you think you can come up with?
And you know, they can do it together. Like a group of kids can come in together as a group. That might be easier to brainstorm ideas. You know, a lot of great companies are founded by two or more people. So we've had a couple entries where, you know, three kids have signed up together, a brother and sister. So that's a great idea too.
Right. I just love starting the conversation with your kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would think we just had a guy from the pedicabs in studio. You would think with the pedicabs going on and the scooters in Chicago, there should be a place on street corners to rent helmets. Bike helmets. That seems
absolutely.
Like, you know what, as I'm saying this idea out loud, I should have kept it to myself, but I was thinking that when Dan was in the studio, there should be, because you can rent bikes anywhere, on every single corner, it seems like.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing for bike helmets in the city, and that would be simple.
That's exactly right, you know? And so someone with that idea, for example, could have a stat from last year. How many people were, you know, in an accident and got injured because they weren't wearing a helmet? You know, I'm going to solve this problem. So, I don't know.
Do they have to have, is it a page long? How much do they have to have written down, or do they just present to you? I'm sure they have to submit something in writing.
So when you register on the website, there's just a little button you click, and it takes you to the form. And all we really need is your name, your age, your email address, so we can communicate to you the name of your idea. And then we ask for a little summary. So we're going to put that together for the judges ahead of time, so they can kind of get an idea of what the kid is going to be talking about. And then, you know, and then it's there. We'll call them up. We'll have like a program, so, you know, they know when they're going to be called up. And then they'll get a few minutes to kind of, if they have something that they've created. I think there was someone who was talking about they had created a toy out of, you know, cardboard and paper and some other materials. You know, bring that along. If you don't have that, no big deal.
Right.
Bring what you got. You know, do your homework, a little bit of homework ahead of time, so you come prepared. You know, who's going to be your customer? What might you charge for this idea? How much would it might cost to make it? Kind of some of the basic, you know, as in business school we say the four P's, right? Your product, your price, your placement, where would you sell this, your promotion, you know, how are you going to tell people about it, and your people, who would actually buy this. So those are kind of the basic questions that people, the judges might ask them, and kids should probably think through ahead of time. You know, we're not trying to scare anyone, obviously,
sure.
But
you just want to have fun.
To kind of like, yeah, we want to have fun, and we want to just make sure that they're really thinking this through and they're really passionate about it.
Do you name a winner that day on the 17th?
We will, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll give all the kids a couple minutes and a little interaction with the judges, and then we'll have the judges kind of come together at the end, and then we'll bring up the top five kids, and we'll announce, you know, the grand prize winner, and present them with, you know, I want to get one of those, like, great big checks and just hand it over.
The big checks, man.
That's just cool, you know?
I'm trying to think of a niche here. You know, the helmet stands, the phone. I always go back to the phone charging stations, because that is a need, especially if you're at a ball game or if you're at a festival. The phone charging stations, genius.
Oh, I know.
I loved it. What a great idea. So that's where I start. I start thinking about a need somewhere. That's where my
exactly
brain
right.
Works.
You start with a problem, right? You
right.
know, like I, one of our judges, Val Holler, she was recently interviewed on something, and she said it really well. She said, you know, right now being an entrepreneur is really hot, but you don't become an entrepreneur because you want to be an entrepreneur. You become one because you see a problem and you have an idea that solves that problem. And
right.
you become really passionate about it. And then all of a sudden, that is what you are, because you're trying to create a business or a product or a service to solve that problem. So I think that's a good way to think about it. You know, don't just do this because that's, you want to be like, you know, the entrepreneur, because that's the hot thing. No,
right.
Because like, that's really what you want to do, you know?
That is so true. I follow Sarah Blakely, who invented
sure.
Spanx on Instagram, who I just love, and I love her husband, Jesse Itzler. But Sarah, do you know how she came up with the idea of Spanx?
Well, I mean, I can take a guess, but I might sound dumb on the air, but I'm pretty familiar with her idea. Yeah.
Well, it was a hot day. She had pantyhose. She didn't want to wear the pantyhose, but she wanted support, so she cut them off. That's how it started.
That's right.
Genius.
There it is.
Went to an interview. Yeah. I mean, that's how your brain's got to work. It seems so easy, but...
I know.
That's the thing.
I know.
And, Loie, what's your story? How did you get started?
So, my story is my background's in business, and I went to business school at Dartmouth, and I was doing kind of the traditional MBA route with brand management and that kind of stuff. And then... my husband decided to go to business school. At the same time, I had twins, and so we got relocated back up to New Hampshire, and I quit my job, and I started writing for professors because I just sort of thought, oh, this will be a quick two-year gig, and I started writing case studies for professors up at Dartmouth, which is where I went also, and turns out that's a real need. Professors need case studies written and textbooks and a lot of their papers and stuff, and so we moved back here to Chicago, and a lot of professors started reaching out to me from other business schools, and so I started a 15-year career of writing case studies and for top business schools. Yeah, and all the while, my kids are kind of going through elementary school, and I'm thinking, you know, these are great stories that I'm writing about. You know, the stories of how Nike came to be and how Apple came to be and Google. And I actually went looking for books, kid books, about how these companies started. I said, you know, someone's got to write a book series about this. And I couldn't find it. And I said, well, I should write a book series about this. And I sat on the idea for about 5 years. And then finally, about 2 years ago, I said, you know what, I need to write the book series about this. So I have a new book series called From an Idea to that just launched in February with From an Idea to Nike and From an Idea to Disney. And on July 9th, I have From an Idea to Lego and From an Idea to Google coming out. And they're cool books for like third, fourth, fifth grade.
Sure.
They're illustrated. You know, they've got fun facts in there about these companies. They've got easy to understand business definitions, and it's just a really cool introduction to business and entrepreneurship. So
that's kind of my backstory.
Yeah.
Kids wear Nikes. They play with Legos. Why wouldn't they want to know where they came from?
It's amazing. And, I spent the last 3 months or so touring all over the country talking to kids. I mean, I've spoken to thousands of them, and they love this stuff. They're like, I never knew this. You know, I should know this, and I can do it too, because none of these people that founded these companies come from anything special. They really had an idea that solved a problem, and they had passion,
really?
And they weren't afraid to fail. And you know, these are the stories I just, you know, I sort of put a challenge on these kids. I come and talk to them, like, hey, give me a company, and I will find their story, you know, and
I
it's
going
to have
that.
The same theme.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Such a great idea. So what is coming up in July? What are the books?
From an idea to Google.
Google. Oh, jeez.
And From an Idea to Lego, which I think is going to be the big hot one, hot seller.
Of course.
It's such a good story. And there's no one who knows where Lego came from. I mean, you know, it's not really I guess there are MBA case studies on it, but not as much about, you know, Nike and Apple and Google. And
I have no idea where Lego originated. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, so it was a carpenter from Denmark, and he, during the Great Depression, he lost his wife and he lost his business, and he was raising four young boys all by himself, and he had no money, and he took some scrap pieces of wood out of his shut down factory, and he made some wooden toys, and people loved him. I mean, he was just all about high quality, and he made this wooden toy company, and it started to grow, and he called it Lego. You have to read the book to find out why.
Wow.
And then through the years, his son helped him run the business, and they knew that they needed to evolve the wooden toys. They were hearing complaints that the wooden toys were kind of, you know, they got dirty, and they held germs, and they were hard to clean, and so they kind of were looking for the next thing, and then they found a plastic molding machine that was at some And then eventually the bricks came into play and how they evolved the bricks and then the stud and tube design. And it's just a very cool story. And, you know, bricks that Lego bricks that are made today will fit with Lego bricks from the 1950s because they realized that the whole key to the toy being successful was about making it a system, you know,
right.
making everything click together.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where it's made or when it was made. So kind of cool stuff, you know?
Oh, my gosh. We grew up, I grew up with Legos, but my son was just over the top with Legos.
Oh.
And now the Legos are so massive.
Oh, yeah.
And the Star Wars Legos. Oh,
yeah.
We built everything, and it took forever. Wow.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, Lois Sickle, thank you for coming on. Really a pleasure having you on the radio. WinnetkaIdeaTank.com with all the information. The kids have to be between 8 and 14 years old.
And you got it.
Lois, really appreciate you taking the time, and good luck with this event.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
All right, have a great night. Bye.
It's 720 WGN.
Again, all this is presumption now. It's apparent that the police believe it.
Well,
and that is Cowling's car, and that Simpson is in the driver's seat. We've received a report of a gun in the car. The car is heading north, which would be toward Los Angeles. We picked it up in Orange County. The vehicle is registered to Al Cowling, a former teammate, close friend of O.J. Simpson's, who has been a fugitive from justice now almost 12 hours.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline studio. 25 years ago today was the white, slow Bronco chase through the highways of Los Angeles. Here is a question for you. 312-981-7200. We have an apt gift card pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at aptabt.com. What was the sporting event that the news broke into to show the chase on TV? 312-981-7200. Vivi, I know you're laughing because you were one.
I was 1 year old.
When this was going on.
And living in Greece at the time, too.
Everybody remembers certain events in their life. Everybody remembers certain events. The Bronco chase, you remember exactly where you were. I was in Rockford at an Irish pub called Stash O'Neill's, and I was watching this sporting event. I'm like, what is going on? I don't really understand. What is going on? 312-981-7200. Michael, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Joliet.
Joliet, what was the sporting event?
It was the NBA Finals between the Houston Rockets. And I can't remember who the other team was, but I know it was the NBA Finals.
It was the NBA Finals. It was the Rockets and the Knicks, Game 5. Remember, those were the 2 years, 94 and 95, when Michael went and played baseball. But yeah, it was Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Where were you? Everybody remembers where they were.
So I was 12 years old, and I remember just because, you know, I mean, I was 12 years old. I was a little kid, so like I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan. Like, what 12-year-old kid wasn't?
Right.
So this was kind of an anomaly because it was the first time in 3 years that the Bulls weren't in it. And I was still, like, crazy basketball. So I remember I was watching.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, watching with my mom and my brother, like, because they broke in. And there's a great documentary that ESPN did a couple of years ago. It's called June 17th, 1994. It's an excellent, excellent documentary.
It's so good.
And what's really cool about it is there are no talking heads. There's no interviews. It's just news footage from that whole night.
Right.
And they incorporate, like, I think it was Arnold Palmer's last major tour.
It was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. You're right. I do remember that.
It was the opening of the World Cup.
Yes.
It was the NBA Finals. It was the O.J. chase. Like, it was this crazy news day. It's just an awesome, awesome documentary. You can stream it,
right?
I think on ESPN Plus. It was an amazing, it's an amazing documentary.
That one on ESPN, and they did a doc on multiple episodes of the OJ, you know, the entire experience where the murders through the trial of the century, everything, which was really good. And they had the post, they also had the post footage too after the trial, which no one sees. And when he goes back home and he turns into this thug OJ after the trial,
right.
Because no one wants to hang out with him anymore.
I actually just watched a great thing on A&E. I just streamed it through my cable. about the whole civil trial. I'm, like, infatuated with, like, you know, trials like that. I mean, you know, the OJ trial, like, we may not ever see a trial like that again, you know, in our lifetimes.
How old were you then?
I'm 37 now. I was 12 then.
You were 12. You remember the verdict because that's when we didn't have the phones in our hands, and that's when we had to go to an actual TV and watch the verdict. I was in someone's office, and I remember it was like a Zenith, I want to say, a big brown TV. And we're watching. We're like,
I was in eighth grade at Herrick Middle School in Downers Grove in modern technology class when we listened to the verdict on the radio.
Jeez. I mean, that was the biggest thing. And remember, the OJ trial, what was it, 92, were the Rodney King riots? So this happened, he was arrested in 94, and the trial was in fall of 95, I want to say. I think that's about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the arrest was June of 94, and then, you know, the trial lasted, you know, 6 months or however long it was. And, yeah, the verdict was in, like, October of 95.
Right. We had Kim Goldman on last week, and a lot of people think that the Bronco chase happened on the day of the murders. He was in Chicago. He was staying at near O'Hare, and they made him fly back because he was a witness and then a suspect. And they took the metal detectors around O'Hare because they were looking for the murder weapon. It was very strange. And then 4 days later, he wouldn't turn himself in, and that's where the chase happened on the L.A. freeway. Just so.
Now here's the crazy thing. The white Bronco belonged to Al Cowings. It was not O.J.'s Bronco. That's what a lot of people think.
Yes.
Al Cowings had this weird infatuation with O.J., like they were best friends forever. So, and that's part of the reason why Al Cowings went by A.C. O.J. Simpson didn't go by Orenthal James. He went by O.J.
Oh,
Al Cowings wanted to be like O.J., so he went by A.C. He had a white Ford Bronco, just like O.J. did. There are crazy similarities between A.C. and O.J. Simpson.
Is Al Cowings still alive? How come we never hear about him?
I want to say he is still alive. I don't know what he's doing nowadays, because I think O.J. plays football back at USC. Like, that's how they really come
from. Right.
College teammates, but yeah, I don't know what Al Cowings is up to these days.
Because you hear about everyone from the trial and the attorneys and post-trial and the Goldman family. Fred Goldman was on TV last week. We had Kim here on WGN, but you never hear about Al Cowings. Interesting.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting how Al Cowings, and for that matter, like Cato Kaelin too, they kind of just, you know, faded off into the background, kind of out of the spotlight.
Cato's been to town. He comes to town every year for the Comic-Con.
Oh, does he?
And he will be in town for a golf outing. He's coming in the studio. I already landed it today. That's so funny that you say that, because before the show, Vivi and I were talking, and you were playing a video of Cato Kaelin, and I said he's coming in for a golf outing. He's going to come up in the studio. It's just so weird. Al Cowings, according to Wikipedia, is still alive. He's 72 years old. And where is he living? He's living in Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, I think OJ is 72. So if they were college roommates, that would make sense that they're probably about the same age.
Right. He was a first-round draft pick in 1970. Al Cowings. How come he wasn't charged as an accomplice?
Yeah, so I think, and you know, again, I have to consult Wikipedia because, like, you know, what else are you going to consult when you're looking for? Right? I think they threw out the whole Bronco chase. I don't think I think they threw that whole thing out, and none of it was admitted as a.
Why?
I could be wrong, but I see.
Why would they
I
do that? And the interesting thing, they cleared the freeway. Remember that? And people were cheering as OJ was going 25, 30 miles an hour down the highway to go see his mom.
And the craziest part, when I go back to that documentary that I mentioned a couple minutes ago, there were so many news helicopters that were following the chase that they were getting their signals crossed. Like, they showed at one point, like, you're watching NBC News, but at the bottom, it said you're on with Barbara Walters on ABC News. Like, you weren't, but there were so many helicopters that were following that chase that their signals were getting crossed. And
right.
I mean, yeah, I remember from that documentary, there were people lined up on overpasses, people pulling off to the side of the road, cheering him on. Oh, yeah, I mean, you talk about, you think about, and this is 25 years ago, you think about this as a media circus, an absolute media circus, the true definition of the word.
Right, just crazy. And who are these people cheering on the side of the road? How come no one's at work What's going on? It's just crazy. You know what? I'm going to go cheer on OJ. I'll be right back. Listen, I'll meet you at the bar for the NBA final. I got to go cheer on OJ. I got a thing I got to do.
Well, I think it was a Friday afternoon. I think it was like a Friday afternoon.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people were, you know, it was like 5 o'clock LA time. And I think a lot of people, you know, are probably off work by then. But, you know, I don't want to reiterate again to your listeners and to whoever else. If you have not seen June 17th,
ESPN.
Go to ESPN.com and stream it. I'm sorry, I don't need to plug ESPN here, but
no, it's fine.
Fantastic, fantastic documentary.
I mean, what did we do before on demand? I mean, you can just pull up anything on demand now. What did we do?
Oh my gosh.
We had to watch live TV. Wow. Michael, hold on. We're going to set you up with an app gift card, okay?
I appreciate it, Pete. Thank you.
And if you go there, make sure you say hello to Steve Shapiro. He's a great friend. All right? Thanks, brother. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, thanks.
The NBA Finals, Knicks-Rockets Game 5. That's what they broke into during the O.J. Bronco chase.
And now I know.
And now you know. And do you know that O.J.'s on Twitter?
You sure is.
And he posted a video the other day. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to play that back next at 720 WGN.
Car is not exceeding the speed limit, and the police are not forcing it and are not pulling it over. You see them all trailing it. That's the California Highway Patrol are trailing it. But not pulling
over. Show the people on the bridges, Jeff.
Obviously, everyone else is pulled off the lane as you look far ahead. No cars are there. Reuters is reporting that the police tracked O.J. Simpson through his cellular phone. Apparently, he was on the cellular phone.
Oh, that was a big deal back in 94, having a cellular phone. A cellular phone. Yes, definitely so. Larry King is so excited.
But not pulling over.
The cellular phone. Where is it, Larry? The cellular phone.
Reporting that the police tracked O.J. Simpson through his cellular phone. Apparently, he was on the cellular phone.
Okay, he was on the cellular phone, and they tracked it. So O.J. Is finally on Twitter, and he posted a video the other day. Can we play
hey,
that?
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
What a jackass. And who is following him? He has over 600,000 followers, and he just got on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 697 followers.
600,000,
sorry. 697,000
followers. So he's almost at 700,000 in less than a week.
Yeah, he's only following 8 people.
Who are they?
I'll find out for you.
Can you tell me? I bet two of them are his attorneys. There's two. Al Collins will be 3. Trying to think. Cochran,
it's a good guessing
Kardashian,
game.
They're both dead. Probably USC football or the Buffalo Bills. I would say that would be my guess. And what is his Twitter? Now, you know what? Don't give it out on the air. don't give it out on the air. Do we have the second video?
We sure do.
He posted 2 videos. Here's the second one.
You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they wanted to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, Happy Father's Day, and God bless.
Oh, jeez. Does he end every video with God bless?
Yes.
Wow. Almost 700,000. All right. Quick break. We got to get these in before midnight. We're going to talk about Aretha Franklin. She passed away in August of 2018 without a will. And then suddenly, a month ago, they find 3 at her house. Ryan Burrow, right after midnight. It's 720 WGN.
Pat, we're just now crossing the 605.
California
at the
Highway
91.
Patrol is also telling
so
CNN,
we're starting to get
I'm repeating
up
this
the,
to you as I hear
Long
it in
Beach
my
area,
earphones.
Actually, north east Long Beach.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Well, David, the 405 is not too
and
much
OJ
farther
is saying,
than the 91.
Apparently, in a cellular phone, that he wants to go to his mother's house.
That's where he was headed. That's why the Bronco chase. He was headed to his mother's house. All right, we have. Where is it? I just lost it. OJ's Twitter account. I was right on some of this.
You actually were. That's actually
PGA Tour. He follows the Buffalo Bills. He was drafted by Buffalo, number 32. By the way, Buffalo pulled out that jersey this year, there's going to be, I can't remember his name, but there's going to be a running back wearing number 32 this season for the first time since OJ left. Why would they ever do that? After 25 years, this is a milestone year when it comes to OJ. Interesting that Buffalo would do that. Big mistake. He follows the NFL. He follows Tim Graham. Who is Tim Graham? Tim Graham has 39,000 followers. It doesn't say anything. Oh, he's a writer at The Athletic. Okay. Must be Buffalo Bills. USC football, called that. The Heisman Trophy. Didn't he have to sell the Heisman? I think he had to sell it, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Or Fred Goldman got the Heisman and then sold it. Justin Simpson. This has got to be his son, right?
Yeah. He's in real estate.
Wow. So this is Nicole's son, right?
Yeah. Look at him.
It's a good looking kid.
He is.
Well, you know, how old is he? 32, maybe 30. So he was 3, 4, or 5, or 6 during the murder. So he's got to be close to 30. That was 25 years ago. That is his son that he's following. Justin Simpson. You forget that he has two kids. So they're grown adults now.
They are.
And Malcolm Laverne. He's a Vegas attorney. So I was right. He's following his attorney.
Yeah, and if you click on that picture, you see both of them just laughing. There's like a picture of them.
Oh, my God.
Do you see it?
Yes.
And they're laughing.
That's when he got released from court because he was wearing that jean shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And according to Kim Goldman last week, he's just golfing every day in Las Vegas.
Living the life.
And people are asking, we're getting text messages right now, how come he can still live a life? Well, the Goldmans could not touch his pension. That was part of the civil trial. They couldn't do anything with it. That money stayed with him, which I don't understand, but the settlement was, I don't know, around $30 million, and I don't think he's paid any of it. He also announced that he is not Khloe Kardashian's father. Oh, Jesus. Did he really? 815 area code, 700,000 followers. Yeah, that's what he has.
701,000 followers now. That's a lot of followers. For him to be only following 8.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just curious to see what he's going to be posting.
That's why people are following him.
Right. I'm just
so curious. Why are you going to do that? Who's your favorite follow on Twitter? Are you a Twitter person or Instagram?
I'm more of an Instagram person. I love watching like funny things and informative things.
Instagram is so tame and people just post pictures of their family or artsy pictures. That's what's nice about it. And you don't have to read the rant.
Yeah.
Which that's what I love about it.
Yeah, it's quick to the point.
I follow John Cusack because he's a Chicago guy on Twitter, and I think he's lost his mind. Seriously.
Why do you say that?
It's all politics, and it's about Russia, and it's about Trump, and it's everything that comes out of his mouth. It's absolutely crazy. Or everything that comes on Twitter. Well, he's trending on Twitter right now because he posted some anti-Semitic remarks. One of the best follows on Twitter is Super 70 Sports. I look at it every single day. It makes me laugh out loud every single day. Super 70 Sports on Twitter is the greatest ever. Vivi, I don't think you'll understand it because...
Here we go again.
It's the 70s. You won't get it.
And you're 100% correct.
It is one of the greatest follows. I'm serious. I turn this on to everybody. Super 70s Sports. You need to follow it on Twitter. They had a picture of Evel Knievel last week. That's how great it is. They the Battle of the Network Stars. It always turns up at least once a week, if you remember that. Super 70s Sports. They had a picture of Larry Brown the other day wearing bib overalls and a plaid shirt. Super 70s Sports on Twitter. It's so good. Hickman and Charles on CNN. Remember the sports guys on CNN back in the day? God, it's so funny. I just love it. It's one of the best. You see the guys with the lamb chop sideburns, Super 70 Sports. The greatest ever.
I'm a 90s girl.
You are a 90s girl. Uh-huh.
Yep. In Greece. It was nice. Didn't have to really...
How long did you live in Greece?
8 years.
8 years?
Yeah. So I moved here when I was 8 and a half.
And you were born?
I was born here in Chicago.
And your parents moved back to Greece?
Yeah, we moved back to Greece.
Why'd they do that?
Because we had family there, too, and they wanted us to, you know, learn the language.
Does your father own a restaurant?
He does not.
Are you sure about that? Breakfast place?
He actually used to own a fish shop in Greece.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of course, so, it had to do with food.
Yeah.
Is your father's name George?
Yes.
Of course it is. I was going to say George or Nick.
My dad's name is George. That's funny.
Uh-huh.
And my mom's name is Demetra.
Demetra. Okay. And your real name, is it Vivian? How do you say it in Greek?
Paraskevi.
Paraskevi. That's right. That's what Jane says every single time.
And it means Friday in Greek.
Friday?
Yeah.
Why did your dad name you Friday?
Well,
your parents. Hey, listen, we love this day of the week. Let's name our daughter.
There you
yes, go. Yes, it's just wonderful. That's great.
My grandmother's name was Friday, too.
Your grandma's name was Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a...
So they named me after my grandma.
Huh.
Paraskevi.
Your family loves that name.
That's and nice. They love Fridays.
Aretha Franklin passed away in August of 2018, and she had no will. And suddenly, a month ago, three wills turned up. We'll talk to Ryan Burrow, who stayed up, and he's going to join us right after the top of the hour news. Baby, sweet baby, there's something that I've just got to say. Baby, baby, sweet baby. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. The Queen of Soul passed away in August of 2018. She died without a will, or so we thought. Then a few weeks ago, they find a will. Not one, not two, but three wills. And the guy that's been following this story is right here. It's Ryan Burrow. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. What a wild story. And it takes us back to last summer. Let's start there, okay? We know that Aretha Franklin is dying of pancreatic cancer. Maybe we didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. But just before her death, the family, her closest loved ones all huddle together and say, okay, this is going to happen. How are we going to get through this? And at that point, the family decides, okay, Sabrina Owens is her niece.
Yes.
Let's make her the executor of her of this estate, the representative who can help us navigate all of this when this happens, you know, because we're not aware of any will at this time. And, you know, at least we'll have kind of a person who had a good relationship with her. We all trust her, and we'll put her in charge. So, Aretha Franklin dies. Sabrina
now,
is
wait a second,
charge.
Wait a second. Ryan, why wouldn't they say to Aretha, hey, would you want to do a will?
I think at that point, I think this meeting happened, we were too far gone. I mean,
okay.
If you remember those days, they had, I mean, people were coming and visiting her, and many of them were coming out and saying, she's not conscious, she's not talking. So, you know, I have a feeling it's somewhere in that period. But anyways, whether it happened just before her death or immediately after her death, they all settle on Sabrina, the niece of Aretha Franklin. All right, Sabrina, we're going to put you in charge. There are going to be taxes that have to be paid. There's going to be a lot of, you know, inheritance that have to be divvied out. Of course, she's doing this with an attorney, but she is essentially the head person in this.
Yep.
Well, now we flash forward to May, right? Sabrina finds a key. This key works inside of Aretha Franklin's home or her condo or apartment in Detroit. And lo and behold, it opens up a cabinet that includes two wills, handwritten, from 2010, and they're pretty sloppy. I mean, I can't say it any better than that. They're sloppy. They're handwritten. You know, some notes jotted down. In one of them, she calls her attorneys, who she clearly did not trust. Pathetic.
She didn't trust anyone. She was old school.
Like
she
it.
Did not trust anyone. Aretha Franklin, when she did a concert, she got paid in cash, and she would put the cash in her purse, and she would keep the purse on stage. She trusted no one. She did not trust checks. She didn't trust anybody. Okay, keep going.
I always wonder that, too, because if you're a band playing on stage, do you carry your wallet out there? I've always wondered that.
Well, they send most people a check or it's direct deposit, but Aretha wanted to be paid in cash. That's why she had such a big purse. I've seen her in concert, and I've seen the purse. The purse is always with her, and she moves it around the stage because it's full of cash.
So we know about these. We know it's an incredible thing. And actually, one of her attorneys, interviewed by ABC affiliate WXYZ, said that. Look, well, I'll get to that in just a second. Anyways, the hunt continues around her home, and lo and behold, there is a third will. This is in a notebook buried under a cushion in a couch.
All right. Now, this is what I find crazy. So after all these months, August of 2018, she passes away. Nobody cleans the house. Nobody looks in the sofa. And in the sofa, there's a notebook with a will?
There's a notebook with a will. More kind of ramblings in there. It's handwritten, not formalized, not notarized. Doesn't look like any attorneys have gotten their eyes on this thing at all. So where we stand in May is Sabrina has to turn these documents over to the court because they're working through all these tax things and everything like that. Wait a minute. In some of these writings, according to Aretha Franklin's youngest son, it says that he should be the executor. And so now in court today, his attorney made the case saying, look, in one of these wills, it says he should be the executor. And either him and Sabrina share this role or he gets it all right outright. The judge says, look, guys, today I'm not dealing with that. You guys have filed all your petitions. We're going to go through this process in July. So we're not going to walk out of the courtroom here knowing one way or another anything. So that's kind of where we stand at this point. It's still kind of up in the air. We know that she's got at least $3 million in back taxes that were due earlier this year. I don't know if that bill was paid.
I don't understand why these old school singers never paid taxes. Why is that?
Well, I don't know if it's that they never paid taxes or if their tax bills every year were just so high and then the bill came and they were dead. That's quite possible as well. So you're going to have to talk to an attorney about that because, I want to flash back. I mean, this story sounds very familiar, right? Because just 3 years ago, we got the same deal with Prince.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we got all the, we got his estate in Minnesota and, yep. Who's in charge of this? Half children, half brothers, half sisters. And so you've got that going on. We know the Casey Kasem situation, which was an ugly one.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Casey Kasem when they were moving the body around and the kids were chasing the body.
And now we've got this. And, the attorneys say this gets ugly. It's not going to be clean. I mean, you hope that the family members can all get together and this doesn't get too bad. But apparently, according to one of these wills, Aretha Franklin did not want her four sons to receive their inheritance until they graduated from business school.
And that was in the handwritten will, one of them.
That was in a handwritten will, one of them. So the judge has to, at this point, figure out, A, if these wills are valid, if she can accept them, if they are legal in the standing of the court. B, which of these three wills, because some of them counter each other. Some of them conflict with each other.
So how do they do that? How do they decide? Since it's handwritten, I know it's got to be interpreted through the courts and the law, but how do they decide which handwritten will trumps which one?
And they're handwritten, exactly. So, I mean, you don't know. I mean, was this just notes? Was this serious? I mean, she obviously dated them, but when she was writing these, was this just an outline? Did she change it in 2014? This is why judges have their position and why lawyers spend a lot of their time working almost exclusively on wills. So,
oh my gosh.
This is going to be a thing. You just hope that it doesn't tear the family apart because it could get ugly really fast.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you this, because what people should know about Aretha is she was very smart. She thought everything through. I remember talking to her in 2014 when we had her on WGN Radio, and she said, and I'll never forget this statement, she goes, "Let me think on that. I need to think on that." And I knew she was a deep thinker because I've heard about that, I've read about that, and the way that she embraced her singing career and the way that she embraced learning musical instruments, because she was a classical pianist. She learned that on her own. So this is a smart woman who knew that if she wrote something down and hid it, someone would find it. That's probably her intention.
And one of her attorneys in an interview said, and I'll go back to what we were referencing earlier, he said he doesn't think that these are the only three. He thinks there may be some more somewhere.
Oh
so, you have to put on your sleuthing cap and find those other ones because there may be a 2016 version. There may be a 2015 version. We just don't know.
I am so intrigued by this story. I love that they found a notebook in the couch and that was a handwritten will. Just crazy. Why wouldn't she give it to someone? Because she wanted somebody to find it. I'm telling you, this is all a game for her. Ryan Burrow, thanks for staying up, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Take care, Pete.
All right, man. Have a great night. It's 720 WGN. Cub Sox, Crosstown Cub tonight at 6:30 WGN TV. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Ryan Burrow. Aretha Franklin died, didn't have a will, and suddenly they find three. That's just crazy to me, this whole story. By the way, we again, I'm going to say this. We had Aretha on the air here, and I've read so much about her over the years. I've seen her in concert, and she does have a huge purse, or she did, and it was filled with cash because that's how she was paid. That's how she wanted to get paid. But she was a smart, smart woman. She knew exactly what she was doing.
How big was her purse?
Hiding those wealth. It was a big purse. It was like it was like a travel on, you know.
And you can see the money inside the purse.
No, you can't see the money. You just, well, if you know Aretha, you knew she got paid in cash. Wow. So the purse was on stage. Wow. Think about that, walking away with all that cash.
Seriously.
How much is she getting paid for a show?
That's why I asked how big the purse was, because I mean, is that where you fiddle the money?
50, 100 grand, do a night? I mean, probably 100 grand in that purse. No she's way. Taking it
that's
home.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. Three wills were found, one in the couch. I love it. Stars who died without wills. Of course, Aretha Franklin. Prince died at the age of 57. He was found dead in his elevator, did not have a will. And then suddenly all these claims emerged on his estate. 57 years old and you don't have a will and you're worth how much?
Billions.
What was Prince's net worth? Over 500 million maybe? 300 million?
Yeah, way up there for sure.
You would think. Over 100 million easily. For sure. Yeah. Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Did not have a will. Jackson family initially thought he didn't have a will, headed to court. They went to court and suddenly his lawyer said, hey, Michael has a will. He wrote a will. Okay. Amy Winehouse died at the age of 27.
She was young.
God, she was in the 27 Club. I forgot about Amy Winehouse.
She was young.
She was sexy, young, but she had a huge drug problem. Did not have a will. She was worth a lot of money. Family fighting over it. Bob Marley. How old do you think Bob Marley was when he died? Because Bob Marley looks much older than people think.
I would probably say, 40.
40? He was 36. I thought Bob Marley was like 52.
Really? No.
Yes, I thought he was older, over 50 when he died. Bob Marley, 36, did not have a will. God, he was only 36 when he died.
Wow.
Interesting. Another one in the 27 Club, Jimi Hendrix, did not have a will. Died at the age of 27. Sonny Bono died at the age of 62, did not have a will. He died skiing and he hit a tree.
Oh, that's awful. That's terrible. A freak accident.
That was a freak accident.
That's awful.
Wow. His wife, Mary Bono, at the time had to go through probate court to become the executor of her husband's estate. A love child also appeared, but later withdrew his claim. Ultimately, Sonny Bono's estate was divided between Mary, who became his political successor for 14 years, and his two children, Chaz and Christy. Okay? And Kurt Cobain, who died at the age of 27, did not have a will. Of course he didn't have a will. He didn't really have it together.
Do you believe in wills?
Of course.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like some of these celebrities that had families, I feel like you need to have a will.
Once you have a kid, you have to have a will. But my uncle is our family attorney. And once you get married, that's the thing. You have to go see Uncle Phil. And he's got to do your estates. And he's got to do your will. And then when you have a kid, you got to go back and see Uncle Phil. And he's got to take care of the whole deal.
I've got to call Uncle Phil, too. I mean, I don't have kids, but when I do.
Have you ever talked to your parents about that?
It's funny because I think we did have a conversation about that a couple months ago. And I don't know if they have a will or not, but they haven't told us. But it'll be interesting to find out.
You didn't ask about it?
I did ask them, but they did not tell me if they did or not. It's kind of weird.
How old are your parents? Are they
still? They're 60. They're both 60.
Oh, they're young.
Yeah.
They're young.
But, I mean, he puts things in perspective for sure.
You would think. Usually, the spouses, it goes to one of the spouses, and then after the last spouse passes away, then they divide it through the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty morbid to talk about once you get married. It's like, hey, we got to do estate planning. We got to do our will and the whole deal.
That's the thing.
Right. And be careful because a close friend found this out, that if you use your attorney for your estate planning, if you go through a divorce, you can't use that attorney.
Really?
Yes, because that attorney was working with both parties.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about getting a divorce after you get married,
before don't. You're getting married.
That's my point. Yeah.
Come on.
Definitely. What do you think about these artists going on tour? Like Whitney Houston is going to go on tour. Would you go see her? What do they call the things with the...
What?
You know, it's their likeness on stage.
Their what do you mean? Like their...
Is it a hologram? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hologram. Yep.
Would you go see a dead artist?
I feel like I would be curious to see like how that looks. So maybe, yeah, I probably would go check it out. They but can, it also depends can, on how much are the tickets, though. Like if they're like $300 to go see a hologram, it's like...
Oh, God, I hope not.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it depends because sometimes like they could go for that much.
Well that's the new thing now. These artists going on tour as a hologram. So Whitney Houston's going to do it.
I just love the fact that, you know, we live in this day and age now that that's even an option. You know, watch this dead artist perform live. It's crazy. You have the option to do that.
I would absolutely go see Jimi Hendrix, without a doubt. Kurt Cobain, yes, I would go see him. But you're right, it depends on the ticket prices.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, $25-$30, sure, why not? That would be fun. Go to the United Center.
Yeah, that would be cool.
See an old-time artist.
Yeah.
Bob Marley. I'd love to see him in concert.
That'd be a fun concert for sure.
But I wonder how that would work. Would it be like, have you been to Disney?
I have not. I just went to Universal Studios.
When they have, you know, you know it's not realistic. Do you know what I mean?
Like the 3D kind of?
Like? Yeah, it just doesn't seem real when you go see it at a theme park.
Okay.
I don't know if
I would assume that they would be, you know, they would be investing a lot of money for this to work, and they'll be, you know, trying to do a good job.
You would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concert, and you know, you're coming to Chicago, you're doing a tour.
God, so. That's a great question. Who would you like to see? Which dead artist? I'd go see Michael Jackson in a heartbeat. Boy, they charge big money for that.
Oh yeah, especially now with whatever happened, you know, everything. I mean,
yeah, people still separate that. It's interesting. It's funny that you brought that up. Because now I don't know if I'd go. I forgot all about it.
Yep.
It's interesting because they separate the music from...
It's hard to separate that, though.
Oh, I watched that documentary on HBO. Yeah. It's just sick.
I think I watched like maybe the first 20 minutes of it and I just couldn't continue. It was awful.
Prince. In a heartbeat, I'd go see Prince, the hologram.
Purple Rain.
412 area code. Who was Bob Marley? He was a singer.
What?
He was
Let's play some songs.
He was a singer.
Play We're Jamming.
I'm going to have to think about that. Sinatra? And go see Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. I would love to see him. I love Frank Sinatra.
But here's the thing. You can go see these artists. Now that they can do this, you can go see a very, very young Frank Sinatra, or you could see the middle-aged Frank Sinatra, or the older Frank Sinatra. Because Frank lived his entire life. Jimi Hendrix, he only lived to 27.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, different artists.
I'm sure a lot of people will probably request Mac Miller, too.
Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that name? I know who Mac Miller is.
He used to date Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah.
He's a rapper.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Would he be that popular to go see?
Oh,
was he a
sure.
DJ or was he a singer?
No, he was a rapper. Yeah, he was a rapper.
Okay.
Yeah. He was very popular.
I forgot about
so,
that.
So I'm pretty sure a lot of people would go and, you know, would go watch him for sure.
I mean, you think about all the stages that they have at Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
They have the live artists, of course, and they have the big stages, but they also have stages where... They have DJs that just play music.
Yeah.
So if you're having DJs playing music and they sell out these stages at Lollapalooza, why wouldn't you do a hologram?
Oh, absolutely. Like Avicii?
Avicii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avicii would definitely be part of that list for a lot of people.
Sure. Huh. Maybe that's the next step with these outdoor festivals.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing when you walk through a festival like Lollapalooza because you have the normal stages. Just imagine, you know, it's Grant Park. So they put different stages all the way across Grant Park. And there's an area where you just see kids jumping up and down. That's all they're doing. They're all hopped up on Molly, jumping up and down, listening to techno music by a DJ on stage.
Yeah.
And they're going nuts. Yeah. So they go to a live festival to see a DJ play recorded music. That's nuts to me.
It'll be more nuts if it rains. Can you imagine? weather?
Which it does every single year. Yeah. And no one brings a poncho. I don't get it. You go to Lollapalooza, just put a poncho in your pocket. Why is that so hard?
Oh, boy.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, 773 area code, talking about holograms with Whitney Houston. I would love to see Whitney. Still have my ticket stuff from Bob Marley concert at Uptown Theater back in the day. God, that's awesome. Sly and the Family Stone, Alive or Dead. Dan the Fan, Chicago. Sly and the Family Stone, I'm not quite sure if they're alive or dead. We'll have to Google that during a break. It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. Here's a question. Let's do this real quick, and we'll talk about it after news. What dead artist would you like to see? Would you go see in a concert a hologram show? And Mr. Music, Vic, who is going through albums right now, think about that for a second. Okay. All right. What dead artist would you like to see in concert as a hologram?
Ooh, that's a good one.
312-981-7200. Here's Vic with the news. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200. We're talking about what artists you would like to see in concert as a hologram. A lot of people texting in. John Lennon, George Harrison. And then someone texted in, why couldn't they do the Beatles on the rooftop concert? Boy, that's a great question. If you can do everything else, why couldn't you do something like that? That iconic concert on a rooftop. Mm-hmm. Vic, you're doing the, you're listening to, how are you picking the albums, by the way, that you're listening to? I noticed that you posted Pink Floyd and I think it was Bob Marley the other day, right?
Yeah, it's right now I'm going off the Rolling Stones list. They created the top 500 greatest albums.
And you're going through those.
I didn't know they had the 500. I started with the top 100. So I went from 100. I wish I had seen it, because now I get to listen to the top 100 and go back to 500.
Yes.
I started at 100. I think I've listened to 70-something albums over the last month.
Is it an actual album on a turntable, or is it the
I don't have them all. I would. I just don't have them all. So I have a subscription with iTunes. Anybody could do this with whatever they have, you know, Spotify.
Sure.
You can find music free on YouTube, whatever.
Right.
I'm using iTunes. But you know who I'd like to see?
Who?
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. We're getting a lot of text messages for Jimi Hendrix.
Are you?
Man. Just to see him move on stage.
I want to see his fingers, how he does it.
I mean,
it's amazing. It's just mind-boggling. I never listened to him, and I just did. You know, I never listened to him much, but boy, he blows my mind.
Left-handed, that guy?
I don't know if he did it through his career, but I heard he was left-handed, and I heard he didn't have a left-handed guitar, so he learned how to play a regular guitar upside down, you know, like flipped. And then he would have to learn it. You would basically have to play it. The top string would now be the bottom string. I don't know if he did that through his whole career, but someone told me that the other
day. Boy, I don't know. That's incredible. That's a great question. Could you imagine? How about Johnny Cash, the Man in Black?
Oh.
630 area code.
That's a great one.
What dead artist would you like to see in a hologram? John Lennon, George Harrison, David Bowie. Never seen Bowie in concert. What would you pay? What would you pay to see Bowie?
Are you asking me?
I'm just asking both of you.
So since I started this quest, I haven't listened to him yet, but I haven't been a fan really of David Bowie, so probably nothing right now.
And Jimi Hendrix, how much would you pay?
I'd go into the savings account for that one.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, I would for sure.
As a hologram, how much would you pay?
$20.
$20. That's seriously. I was thinking 20, 25.
Yep.
That's all I would pay.
Yeah.
But if someone says Jimi Hendrix special concert when he lit his guitar on fire, or what if they brought Woodstock in a hologram to the United Center?
Oh, the whole concert.
Yes.
Now you're talking, Pete.
What if they did that?
Gosh.
If they can bring Whitney Houston and go on tour with her, why couldn't they recreate Woodstock?
Oh, man. You're onto something there. I would pay big money to go to Wrigley Field and watch a hologram of the actual 69 Woodstock.
Man, I would too. How much? 69? See, now when you change it around like that.
You're thinking big. Where were you in that meeting when they decided to do the Whitney Houston concert?
Janis Joplin.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Dad's favorite.
Your father's favorite?
Yeah, he grew up in the same town she was from.
Oh, wow. What a voice. Aretha Franklin. I saw Aretha at the Chicago Theater. She was still great.
Did you, really?
Yes.
Lucky you. Yeah, she's another one that blows my mind.
And her encore, I'm not kidding, she probably brought 60 people on stage, and everybody was singing. at the end of the show.
Wow.
Lane Staley, Alice in Chains. Oh, yeah. That would be great. Bon Scott, AC/DC. AC/DC back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank Zappa. Freddie Mercury.
I was just going to say that. Yep. That's a good one.
How much?
I don't know. I'll probably start with $50.
$50 seems like too much.
Well, listen, but wait a second. Hold on a second. In my defense, is this the entire concert or is this just a performance?
No, it's a whole show.
Okay, it's a whole show. That seems pretty reasonable to see, you know, because I never got the chance to watch him live.
I keep going back to Woodstock at Wrigley. God, that's a great idea, Vic.
It's a phenomenal idea. I don't know if it's possible, but thinking big on that one.
But the artists that are still alive, like Crosby, Stills, Nash, David Crosby, would want his check. He would want money for that. I'm sure it's a licensing issue.
I think there would be enough interest that we'd probably be able to afford to give him a little something.
Definitely so. A lot of Jimi Hendrix, Frank Zappa. Let's see here.
A lot of Elvis, too.
Oh, my gosh. Elvis Presley.
Yeah, Elvis Presley.
How about Glenn Frey fronting the Eagles? Okay.
Someone said the Three Stooges.
Velvet, no. Velvet Underground, Jerry Garcia. Yeah.
How about to get the whole band of the Beach Boys together again? And I wonder if there's any interest out there for that.
Aren't they still alive?
Yeah, I thought one of them passed away.
Mike Love, the lead singer.
Or is not in a condition to sing.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, I just did a charity event with him a few years ago.
Is that right?
Brian Wilson.
Yeah, Brian Wilson, right.
He can sing, but not that well.
Mm.
It's interesting, he can play the piano too, but he's out to lunch. It is.
Yeah,
Stevie
yeah.
Ray Vaughan. You're talking.
There you go.
Wow. Boy, this is we were talking about ideas earlier. Maybe this is the idea. I don't know how it works, but I don't know how you would do...
I have not heard an idea as good as the one you just had a little while ago about a hologram concert of Woodstock, the original. That would be insane if you could do that.
But with Whitney Houston, the money goes to her estate, which pays everybody off. With Woodstock, I don't know if they own the rights to show a Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You'd have to get everybody to sign on. That's the problem. That's a bummer. 312-981-7200. Trucker Rich. Go ahead, buddy. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys tonight?
Good, man. What artist?
Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they didn't get a chance to really make a huge mark on the music industry, but they did at the same time for what little time they were around. But
right.
My question is, what's the difference between seeing, I really don't know, so I don't know if you can say it. What's the difference between seeing somebody in a hologram concert versus watching a video concert?
I mean, they're kind of the same thing, but the hologram, it looks like there's a person on stage because of the lights and the computer.
Okay.
And so, with the video, it's on a screen.
And they're still playing canned music, right?
Yes, they are.
For the most part.
Because the artist is dead.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
You're right. It's a recording. When you dumb it down, it's a recording, Rich. It is.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't pay a ton of money to it, but maybe $20 or $30, you know what I mean?
I think $30 is the ceiling right there.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, otherwise, you can just, like Vic does for the albums he can't find on iTunes, goes to YouTube and watches it or listens to it. You know?
Right. I think we all do that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I guess I've heard, I mean, I didn't see it, but didn't, oh, man, somebody and his daughter did a concert. He was gone.
Nat King Cole.
Nat
King Cole and his daughter. They did. She went on tour with that, Natalie.
Yeah, that might be cool, you know, but at the same time, kind of creepy, you know. But
people loved it. That was a very successful tour. The problem is, I mean, when you bring up things like getting Freddie Mercury in, does Queen get paid off? It's all of, everybody wants a piece of the pie. People want to get paid. That's right. The problem. So who are you going to pay off? If Whitney Houston goes on tour as a hologram, her estate gets the money. But if you're doing Freddie Mercury, you got to pay Freddie, and then you got the Queen, the band music, and if you're going to do Woodstock, you got to pay the artists that are still alive and the dead artists.
You know what would be cool? You know what would be cool? If they did these concerts and all of the proceeds go to a charity that they supported when they were alive.
Yeah, but people still want to get paid. That's the problem. They all want to get paid.
Well, I mean, some people can't. The people can get paid, but, you know, also some of the proceeds can go to support, you know, charities that they once supported.
Yeah. People still want to get paid.
Okay, fine, Pete.
They do. It's a great idea in theory, but the bottom line is people want to make money because they feel like they're going to be ripped off if they're going to go from city to city. So if we're seeing holograms of a Whitney Houston, if Bruce Springsteen said, you know, I'm not going to go on tour this year, but I'm going to send my hologram out, is that going to be the future of music?
Good question.
Oh, that'd be bad.
It would be bad, but I feel like we're kind of heading a little bit down that path.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Seems like it.
Yeah, might as well just get animatronic robots and just send them out on tour.
It's the same thing. I feel like we're doing that. Trucker Rich, thanks, bud.
Yep, have a good evening.
You
Take
too. 312-981-7200. It kind of feels like we are heading down that road. Yes. 312-981-7200, 815 area code. How about Nirvana? I think we'd all go see Nirvana. But again,
I go see Nirvana.
When you're splitting up the pie, you got to pay Kurt Cobain's estates, and then Courtney Love's got a piece of that, and then everybody else in the band. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The question is, what dead artists would you pay to go see as a hologram? It's 720 WGN. Talking about dead artists, Roy Orbison did go on tour as a hologram, and I would pay to see Marvin Gaye, 630. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Full moon today. Any weird things happening to people? They happened to me before the full moon. Did anything happen to you today?
Gosh.
With the full moon. People get crazy during a full moon.
A lot of honking today on the streets of Chicago.
I do that all the time. I drive around with my hand on the horn. Get out of my way. We're always in a hurry. Here's something for you. 312-981-7200. If you get this correct, we'll set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Full moon. Relationships. You get in a fight. There are four things never to say to a person when you're fighting with them. Four things. You give me one, you win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
I could tell you all four.
You probably could. Relationship therapists agree on the top four things never to say in an argument. Give me one, and we will set you up. When was the last time you got in an argument with George?
Actually, we don't argue, George and I.
How long have you been dating this guy?
8 months. 8 months now.
Give it a few years.
Oh, come on, stop.
I've been married to my wife. When did we get married? 2001? 19, 18 years.
Wow.
18 years. After you're married 10 years, you fight about the dumbest things ever. It is just ridiculous, the things that you fight about. Four things never to say in an argument. 312-981-7200. You get one out of four, and we'll set you up with that Lou Malnati's gift card. Devlin, what's happening?
Devlin.
How you doing, man?
How you doing? I'm good. How are you?
Okay, give me one of the four.
I hate you.
I hate you is absolutely correct. You never, ever say, I hate you. Hate you.
Agreed.
That is the worst. No one wants to be hated by their partner, and this phrase can be the beginning of the end. Devlin, hold on. We're going to set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift card. Let me give you a few more of these. Never or always. Do you ever use those when you fight? Never or always?
I suppose it's probably come out of my mouth once or twice.
I think it all has. Yes. I want to break up or I want a divorce. You never say that during an argument.
Not the right way to go.
I've never said that to my wife. I want a divorce.
We called it the D word.
Yes. Never said
not
that.
To be spoken of.
Thank God. I want to break up. I say that to people all the time, but in jest. I hate you. And number four, you should never say you look terrible. Think about that for a second. I mean, when you first say it, it's like, you look terrible. It's not a big deal. But think about if the person that you love said that to you.
Wait, yeah. During an argument, though?
You look terrible. Yeah.
Right.
So you're arguing, and then the one person, and then
right.
they say you look terrible.
Mm-hmm. That's dirty arguing, by the way. Devlin, hold on. Thanks, brother.
Thanks a lot.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. You look terrible. I hate you. You can't say this stuff.
Yeah, that's
telling
really
you,
bad.
People get a little cray cray during the full moon.
Did anything happen to you, Pete?
Nothing I can think of today. I mean, just the normal things, you know. By the way, what's going on with Ohio? It's been backed up. They're working on that street.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while, though, no?
Yeah. That's where I was honking, by the way. I was honking today. Lisa, have you ever said I hate you to someone in a fight?
I don't think so, because that's too strong of a word.
It is too strong of a word. How about never or always? Have you ever said that to someone?
Yeah,
you never do this. You're always late. I think
guilty.
We all do that, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
How about you look terrible?
No, because, you know, we all have things about ourselves. I'm kind of like, I think about me before, you know, would I want someone to say that to me? I'm one of those people, so I really won't go that far into saying that someone looks terrible.
I'm with you because I feel bad. I don't want people to say
that's
it to
hurtful.
Me. Yeah, absolutely that's, so.
Yeah.
Fighting with someone, have you ever said, I want to break up?
I thought of it.
I do have to say I have said that in the past. But they weren't a serious relationship.
I've said that in the past, too, actually.
Anything under a year I don't think is too serious, except for you, Vivi. That's an exception. But anything for me under a year was not serious. So, Lisa, you have said that.
About the breaking up thing?
Yeah, I want to break up. Or you haven't. Okay.
No, I don't think I have, honestly.
Okay.
You're great, Lisa. You're doing wonderful.
Well,
keep up the good work.
Have a great night. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, too.
All right. 312-981-7200. Hold on a second. Luca, you've said that.
Hey.
You've said it to somebody. I want to break up. Come on.
I never said it.
You've never said I want to break up to somebody during a fight?
Not a fight. Not a fight.
Really?
When do you say it if it's not in a fight?
Well, I mean, usually a fight happens after you say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see that. I distinctly remember I was living in Rockford and I was dating the girl that lived next door to me and we got in a fight and I can see it clear as day in my head right now. She's standing in my living room and we're fighting and I'm like, we should break up. I swear to you, I said that. And she walked out and went around the corner to her house and slammed her front door.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That was it.
Sounds dramatic.
But how weird is that? She's living right next door. Think about it. And the walls are touching because, you know, you live in a condo.
Wow.
An apartment. Yeah. So needless to say, we got back together. Yeah. It's not happening. Okay. 312-981-7200. It's Pete McMurray. I love the kid of the week. I listen to it every week. Seriously. And there's some great kids out there. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're talking about full moon. People do crazy things during a full moon and things never to say in an argument. Never or always. I want to break up. I hate you. You look terrible. That is just terrible. 224 area code. I want a divorce. Yeah, you can't say that.
Mm-mm.
That's bad.
I'm surprised that I don't care is not in there.
This is from Texter Christy. I say, do not say anything. So if you're arguing, say anything.
Like don't say anything or say anything?
I say, do not say anything. So don't say anything if you're arguing.
Okay.
I don't know how that works. Okay. I hate when you're arguing and then it stops and you ask the person, so what's going on? And they say nothing. The word nothing.
Yeah, you need time to cool off.
How are you feeling? Nothing. I mean, are you okay? Everything all right? It's bad. People fight dirty. That's the problem.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. That does it for us.
We got Dane Neal coming up.
Oh, Dane.
Yeah, Nick's pretty sick. He's dealing with a little cold, so he's out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dane is coming up.
Yeah.
Well, nope. Dane's coming up next. I love Dane. I'm going to go hug him. He's in the studio down the hall.
He's warming up.